The death of Iran's most senior dissident cleric spurred large protests by the opposition movement there this weekend. Since disputed elections this summer, the Iranian government has cracked down on protesters and kept a tight lid on the media. And in that country, they continue to ignore American demands to halt all nuclear programs. Borzu Dargahi is joining us now. He's the Middle East correspondent for the LA Times, and he's managed to continue reporting from Iran. He joins us now from Beirut. He has just left Iran. Borzu, you were in Tehran when Ayatollah Hussein al-Montazeri, the top dissident cleric, died on Saturday. What were the protests like there?
Well, I was not personally able to attend the protests.
They were in Qom, right?
A media ban on Western media going to these protests. Even local media were severely restricted in what they could report about the protests. And of course, the protesters themselves, armed with little cell phone cameras, managed to totally circumvent any of the restrictions and get the word about the protests. There was tens of thousands of people who descended upon Iran's very important shrine city of Qom. This is the theological center of the country, as well as an important, some say the most important place of learning right now in the entire Shiite faith. And so you had this extraordinary mixture of people who included seminary students and clerics, along with this cleric, Hussein Ali Montazeri's supporters from very rural parts of the country. And then added to that mix, you had very chic, middle-class, educated people from the capital who all came together to mourn this gentleman. And they all turned this into a massive protest against the government. Slogans included death to the dictator, which is taking on, at this point, a much more potentially radical edge. Slogans included Mir Hussein, support of Mir Hussein Mousavi, the opposition figurehead who ran against President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and lost in a disputed election. And so this was a rather electrifying moment in this whole six-month drama, and it will continue in the coming days.
Well, let me ask you about that electrifying moment, Borzu Dargahi, Middle East correspondent for the LA Times. Is this, you mentioned all the different groups who are converging around the mourning period in the death of this cleric. Is this a cohesive movement against the government, or is sort of a more amorphous sentiment against what people see as an Iranian dictatorship drawing people together? Do they have one purpose, or is it just sort of anti-government sentiment from all around the country, kind of loosely affiliated?
I think that it is coalescing against a general demand that Ahmadinejad be taken out and that the country shift direction. And I think that's like the kind of minimum that people want. They want to go back to the direction of the reformist movement of the late 90s and earlier this decade. They do not like the direction the country is going.
And Borzu, let me ask you though, what is the tip of this movement? Is it still Mousavi, who lost the disputed election to against Ahmadinejad? Is he still the tip of this? Do they want Mousavi in? Do they know what they want?
I think that everyone continues to chant that slogan, Ya Hussein, Mir Hussein. It remains a very, very important slogan. It's often the first slogan that's chanted at demonstrations, small and large. So I think, yes, I think that is still true. Some people disagree. They say that the movement has become more radical. Even those more radical people, there's a level of maturity among them, where they recognize that you can't just they know the lessons of the 1979 revolution, and they don't want to repeat what they perceive as some of the mistakes from back then, and they would prefer, even those people would prefer, a slower transition that is not cataclysmic, that doesn't cost lives, that doesn't lead to the guillotine, and so even those more radical ones who want an abolition of the Islamic Republic recognize the value in having a transition.
Borzu, Middle East correspondent for the LA Times. We heard from Robert Wirth yesterday of the New York Times, and he said that at this point, protesters are taking any opportunity at all to mount protests against the government, and suggested that perhaps we're going to continue to see them and perhaps a ramp up in them. And I'm wondering, what about the government response? Do we know if the government response is also ramping up?
The government has tried every single tool in its arsenal so far. They've, you know, shot at demonstrators. They've used tear gas. They've put lots of controls over the media. They've tried to discredit the opposition with these what critics describe as show trials. And so they've tried all these things that have worked in the past, and they haven't worked. So, I mean, it leaves them with, you know, a few options left and a lot of margin of error, a lot of potential for error, very little margin of error, actually. You know, they could open fire on demonstrators in a Tiananmen Square style attempt to crack down on the protests.
There's so many
risks with that move.
Borsi, what about, just before we go, I want to ask you about the life in the rest of Iran. The protests are obviously growing. That was in the city of Qom, not in Tehran this time. Daily life in Iran, consumed by political protests. Give us a quick feel of the country right now, if you could.
Well, it's quite extraordinary, actually. Normal life continues. People are shopping. People are going to work. There's a sort of lively sentiment in the air as the winter begins, and the weather goes from cold to warm in a few hours. But you know, many people beneath the surface are pursuing the aims of this protest movement, and it's sort of become like a part-time job to them to be political activists.
Now, Borzu, you wrote about a blind conductor conducting a women's orchestra in Iran, part of daily life continuing in that country. I want to thank you for joining us. Borzu Daragahi, Middle East correspondent for the LA Times, joined us from Beirut. We want to play some of that orchestra that you've been writing about. Thanks, Borzu. Coming up, we talk about your work life every Tuesday and what would you do to land a job? Maybe whiten your resume? We'll talk about what that means later this hour.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.